Welcome to the Game AFL Podcast, a weekly hit of the best football analysis from the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. This is the game.
It's a grand old flag. It's a high flying flag. It's the emblem of the end.
Well, good afternoon, listeners. It's Mark Duffield, the senior football writer at the West Australian. I have with me Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. And Quarters, before we get into the football, I'd like to get a ski report from you, please.
Well, it's not good, I'm afraid. In economic turmoil on these ski slopes of Victoria and New South Wales, Thredbo, Hotham, no one there.
And
no one there.
And why would this be, Glenn?
Well, let's just say the Melbourne Club is full at the moment.
The Melbourne Club is full,
yes.
And the Melbourne Football Club is full of confidence.
That's right. Can you just imagine, you know, Monty, that 50-year-old whiskey that we hid behind the portrait all those years, get it out! Well done, number five.
We'll have a wee dram. By golly, that number five's a good player.
Oh, well done. That's a load of rot.
He's played his way into my heart. I'll have to learn his name.
Yeah, well, I think they're getting very excited at Melbourne, and for good reason. They're looking pretty good and closing in. Funny that Richmond's 7-5 as well, too. So
yeah, well, it's good to see that the big Melbourne clubs are in and around it. Obviously, Hawthorn's struggling a bit, and they've become a big Melbourne club now. But Carlton's on the improve. Richmond's in the eight. Essendon's in the mix, and Melbourne on the rise as well. So we should have some big games in front of big crowds between now and the end of the year.
So on that, who's your coach of the year to the midway point? I mean, obviously Simon Goodwin's got Melbourne up and about, but Bolton for mine. Just Carlton's just so well organised at the moment.
Yeah, nah.
Now, who's your coach of the year to the halfway point?
I'd probably say Don Pike.
Yeah.
Still. I think Adelaide are on top. They've played the best football of the season. You know, they've been exposed a little bit, but so have all the other clubs at various times. So, yeah, I'd give it to Pikey. We all thought they had a skinny midfield at the start of the year, and that may prove to be the case before the end of the year, but they're tracking along quite nicely.
And I tell you, we're talking about, mate, we're taking the mickey out of Melbourne, but they're coming out, the Carlton supporters too. I can see them. The track suits are out.
Oh, God.
They're everywhere. You can't avoid them.
And you wish you could. I mean, that's the... Look, I've got a really good mate who's a Carlton supporter, and he's a really good barometer of the club because he has a private Carlton number plates, and it all goes to how Carlton are going.
Sorry. Who doesn't have private Carlton number plates as a member of Carlton?
Okay, well, but you can tell how Carlton are going by which vehicle those number plates are on.
The Range Rover or...
Well, if they're going really well, they're on the family car. If they're going not so well, they're on the tractor. And if they're going really badly, they're hanging on the toilet door in the family farm up at Narrambeen. Hello, Bruce Parsons.
Fair to say my Hawthorn plates are off at the moment.
Yes, they are, and so are the wheels. But anyway.
Now, you're an Instagram follower, Duff.
No, but apparently Jason Johannesson is.
Now, this is the way of the future. Thomas Bugg and Jack Watts last weekend telegraphing perhaps the intent prior to the first bounce last week, something that Sydney employed the week before. But,
I
don't see anything wrong with it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all part of the tactics of the game, and it's the way of the future. It'll be done more and more. I noted that Simon Goodwin said, you know, we want to stand for integrity and honesty and all these, but I'll tell you what, it didn't look like there were too many recriminations there. I think they were quite happy with those tactics in telegraphing them, and I think we'll see more of it.
A football coach wanting to stand for integrity and honesty. Simon, you're coaching an AFL team. You'll be lying about injuries three times a week before you're out.
So you have a theory about Instagram, though. Someone will kick 10 one day.
Yeah, exactly. I think one day someone... Look, and don't get me wrong, I'm not ideologically or philosophically opposed to what Bug did. It's very entertaining. It's all grist for the mill for us in the media. So that's fine. But sooner or later, they will poke the wrong bear. And that person will come out and kick 10 or have 35 or just basically carve a team up, and that'll be the end of Instagram prompts, because you basically leave yourself open, I think, to something that's beyond your control, and that's how the other person reacts. And so I would say, yeah, not a great idea.
I felt a bit for Luke Beveridge this week because he has, speaking of social media, he has copped a bit himself. I don't think there's much more he can do. He's got them from eighth. They've won their first flag since 1954. He's a pretty good coach.
Yeah, I like Luke Beveridge. I like the way he's gone about it. I actually even like the way he's gone about it this year.
Yeah.
And I think they've got all the hallmarks at the moment of a team that's just lost its edge.
Yep.
And the edge is everything in footy, isn't it, quarters? It's an equalised competition. The margins are very narrow. And the Doggies, the only thing I'd say about the way Luke's handled the team this year is I think that in trying to keep the players honest and accountable and picking teams on form and disregarding reputation, so sending Tom Liberatore back to the VFL, he may have destabilised them a little bit.
You can only make so many changes.
Yeah, and he made a lot at the weekend. Yep. And at quarter time in the game against Melbourne, they were in front or even on just about every contested stat, and they kicked 1 point and Melbourne had kicked 4 goals. So
yep.
I think they need to settle the team down now and do the best they can in the run to the end of the season. I don't see them as a flag contender. They've got to try and scrounge a finals performance out of it.
MRP, Duff, what constitutes high impact? You have to smash someone over the head with a sledgehammer.
No, you have to be a low-profile player.
I mean, there are a few lucky blokes walking around out on AFL fields this week, and Joel Selwood's one of them.
This is the new criteria. Big name.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they should add this to the criteria. High impact or high contact, medium impact, careless, reckless, intentional, whatever, but marquee player or Jack Nobody.
Yeah, it seems that way after last weekend. Look, I would suggest the two in particular. Shuey, I thought, was very lucky to get off.
Yeah.
And I thought that Selwood was extremely lucky to get off. Now, okay, Sam Mitchell got up, but he's a pretty tough character. And if that's low impact, I'll tell you what, I'm not big on wax to the back of the head either.
And Matt Rosa gets a week.
Yeah, we'll work it out.
Now, Matt Rosa did swing an arm into the side of, I think it was Dale Thomas's head. But he didn't hit him with the fist. He hit him with the arm. I'm not sure there was that much difference between what he did and Sam Mitchell, what Sam Mitchell did to Selwood in retaliation for what Selwood did to Mitchell.
Or even Riewoldt.
Or Riewoldt did to Thompson. You know, and I don't know. It's like you either suspend all of them or you don't suspend any of them. I mean, Matt Rosa is hardly Barry Hall.
Yeah, yes, agree.
He's been a pretty benign player over the course of his career. He's not a guy that's gotten into a lot of trouble. I would have thought his record could have stood for something. And certainly, Selwood and Mitchell were going hard at each other throughout that game on Thursday night. Luke Shuey was interesting. I read AFL.com.au's justification of how the MRP treated that one. They said, well, he's within 5 metres of the ball, so he's entitled to bump. He's entitled to bump if he's shepherding or blocking or performing some legitimate football function. He ran by the ball, ignored it, looked at Dangerfield, saw him standing on the edge of the contest looking at the ball and picked him off.
And took a while to get up too.
And it was intentional.
Yep.
If that's not intentional, I don't know what is. And Luke Shuey, for the most part, is a ball player. But at the end of the day, at that particular moment, he chose to bump a player who didn't have the ball, wasn't going to get the ball. He wasn't protecting one of his own players because his own players didn't have the ball.
Yep.
So I'm not sure it's a legitimate football function. And I think Lance Franklin might be the luckiest of them all because that looked very much like the sort of bump that the AFL is trying to outlaw for the safety of players.
Always, Lance is always a bit unlucky, though, because of his height. But, yeah, look, I do take your point. Interesting to see the tactics employed again against Little Gaz with the Carlton-Gold Coast game. And, a lot of those niggling tactics, which are okay, as long as they don't step over the line.
Quarters, I only have one problem with that.
Yep.
Is when every player in your team has belted the opposition's marquee player when they've gotten in the same suburb as him, I get a bit annoyed when the umpire waits for Gary Ablett to retaliate and then pays a free kick.
Yeah, fair call.
If you're going to sit around and watch a bloke get harassed and bullied and belted all day...
Yeah, just give him a free kick. Set the agenda early and they'll stop doing it.
Yeah, either don't pay the retaliation. And the same happened in the Sunday game when...
Thomas Bugg
gives Easton Wood a cheapie after the Demons had kicked a goal. Easton Wood retaliates. There wasn't much in either of them. But you either penalise the first one or you don't penalise the second one. The umpire sits there and watches the first one and then he penalises the second one and gives Melbourne a freebie.
Well, you know what they say, one day you're the windscreen, the next you're Thomas Bug.
Yes, and it's a good name too because he is a pest.
Well, it wasn't much of a bug spray from Simon Goodwin, though, was it, afterwards? Listen, while on Little Gaz, congratulations, 300 up this week. And I just want to raise a stat here. Jonathan Thurston, a great of rugby league, plays his 300th game on Saturday for the North Queensland Cowboys.
Yep.
34 he is, Gary Ablett's 33. Both debuts in 2002. Games 299, 299. Wins 168, 170. Points 2609, 2056. Flags 2, runners up 1. Very similar paths, very similar journeys.
So I've got one question.
Yep.
How good was John O'Thurston's dad?
Geez, you've got me flummoxed there, mate. Very good.
I'm suspecting he wasn't as good as Gaz's dad.
Who have you got ahead?
What, a little Gaz or big Gaz?
I've got big Gaz.
Yeah, I still have big Gaz ahead. I think little Gaz is pretty close to the best player of his era.
Yeah,
but
close to. He's in. Yeah,
yep. Big Gaz might be the best player I've ever seen.
One of, yeah, but I think his ability to impact games in a short space of time was greater.
Yes.
Little Gaz tends to accumulate and do it over a four quarter, but big Gaz could just make a statement in a quarter and it was game over.
And the other thing that big Gaz had on his side, I don't think another team would run around bumping into him and rolling him up all day.
Oh, no.
Because big Gaz could take care of himself.
Yeah, or he'd just stand on your head and then kick 10.
Yes. Well, I used to kick the ball when players filled the hole in front of Big Gaz. Malcolm Blight used to get the Geelong players to kick the ball on that player's head so Big Gaz could put his knee through their ribs, yeah. Basically.
Good segue there too. Very happy with his elevation to legend status in the AFL Hall of Fame.
Malcolm Blight?
Yes.
Should have happened earlier.
Yes, should have happened earlier. Who's next for WA, do you think, as far as the Hall of Fame?
So Hall of Fame, look, I'm a bit staggered that Gary Bucanara isn't in yet. It'd be I'm going to imagine a favourite of yours being a great big game player and a great Hawthorn player. But the other thing about Gary Bucanara is that State of Origin was a very significant factor over 15 years of football. So being from the mid-70s through to the end of the 80s, Gary Bucanara, I believe, was the greatest State of Origin player.
Never played a bad State of Origin game.
He kicked 7 in one. He kicked 5 in another. He was only out of Western Australia's best players, I think, once in all the games he played. He was a wonderful State of Origin player. And I think for him to not be recognised, apart from the fact he was a very, very good player for Hawthorn in all of their flags, I just think it's a glaring omission. And I'm tipping that given they had it in South Australia this year,
it's here next year, isn't it?
And celebrated Adelaide Oval.
Yep.
It'll be here next year, and there'll be a big push to get some West Australians in.
Yep.
I'd be very surprised if Gary Bucanara isn't an inductee next year.
City, it'd be a long and a healthy debate if we sat here. It'd be a list of names very long.
You happy with Barry Hall in the Hall of Fame?
Well, it's a very good question. I'm not doing backflips, no.
What about?
Nah, Anthony Stevens not doing backflips over that one either.
Simon Goodwin?
Not doing backflips, no. I think very good players, great players even, but there's plenty like them. I'm just not sure why they're in there at this point.
Simon Goodwin had a very good career, didn't he?
285, two flags.
5 All-Australians?
Yep.
Those are good numbers. You just feel like, the Hall of Fame should be the absolute cream of the crop.
Agree.
Do you agree? Have we dipped just a little bit below the absolute cream of the crop?
It just seems that we're hanging them out a bit willy-nilly. It just doesn't seem any rhyme or reason to it at all. And you're right. I think we need to be the absolute cream. Nothing against those players. Great careers.
Yep.
I just think there's plenty ahead of them who aren't yet elevated.
And, of course, Barry admitted that he probably shouldn't have played in the 2005 grand final after his little tummy punch on on Maguire in the preliminary final.
Well, let's hand the cup back then.
Well, I'll tell you what West Coast supporters will be doing, because they've been hearing all this stuff from Sydney saying there should be an asterisk next to the 2006 flag. They'll say, well, put one next to the 2005 flag too.
I don't think it quite works that way.
No, it doesn't, and it won't change anything.
On to round 14, happy to see a full round again. I think we're all glad the bye is over with. Thursday night, Adelaide v Hawthorn at Adelaide Oval, and nice and rested the Crows. The Hawks get Hodge and Birchall back. I see Amira's still out for a little bit of time, but I think this is going to be a bit ugly for the Hawks, and Adelaide to win by plenty, I think.
I think Adelaide will win. I reckon Grant Birchall's been a massive out for Hawthorn. And
Ben Stratton's a bigger out, though.
Yeah. I think getting Birchall back will give him a bit of run and direction from defence. They might be a little bit more competitive, but you certainly would be tipping Adelaide.
Yeah, let's hope so. Friday, Sydney v Essendon SCG. I'm back on. I am back on the Swans bandwagon. We'll make the finals and we'll have an impact.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tip Sydney. Yep. And I've decided to rescind my writing off of them, but I'm not quite back on yet. I want to see. They've dropped a couple at home. They should have won, haven't they?
Yeah, but so, I think they're through that now. And what's really good about Sydney at the moment is it's not just the – I mean, yes, Josh Kennedy's having another terrific year, but it's the Heaneys and the Jones, those players who've really elevated themselves now.
Yeah, and, we forgot – about Isaac Heaney, that he'd had glandular fever. Yes. It took him a while to A, to play, and B, to
Newman's,
to get going.
Newman's
again.
Been terrific too. A lot of the kids there are now coming to the fore and perhaps taking a bit of pressure off. So I like that about Sydney. I just like the way they're going about it at the moment.
So we're both on the Swans?
Absolutely. On to Saturday, Collingwood v Port at the MCG. Intriguing game here because Port, we keep saying, going along okay, but who have they beaten? Well, I'm not sure if Collingwood constitutes a scalp yet, but I think they'll get that scalp on Saturday.
Do you? I'm going to go with Collingwood. Yep. I wasn't that enamoured with what I saw of Port against Brisbane. I was actually a little bit more excited about what I saw from Brisbane. I think Brisbane have bottomed out, and I think they can hope to improve from here.
Yep.
They had some good signs, and Port, to me, were a little bit underwhelming. I'm going to go with the Pies.
On to Brisbane and GWS at the Gabba. Zorko. Now, do you put him in All-Australian calculations?
I absolutely do.
He's been had a terrific year, hasn't he?
If Dane Zorko was playing in Melbourne, he'd be one of the favourites to be in the All-Australian. As it is, he'll probably be in the squad and then cut when they pick the final 22. But gee whiz, there aren't many midfielders going better than him at the moment.
And Hipwood continues to impress it as well, just here and there. Little splashes of brilliance.
How was that goal?
Oh, it's terrific. Yeah, a little dummy. Yeah, lovely. Good to watch. When he puts on a little bit of a bit more muscle and gets a few more games under his belt, he's going to be a terrific player, a big key position player for a long time.
And Josh Shackey kicked 5 goals and took 10 marks in the NEAFL, which is just as important for them as well because they need those two to be there. They're two power forwards going forward.
And his re-signing has been a real boon for Brisbane too against GWS. So Josh Kelly looks like he's missing for a week or two.
Yes.
I'm not 100% on that yet. And Jacob Hopper out, but I think GWS win this one. But I think Brisbane will be as competitive as it has been in recent times.
Yeah, they're on the improve, Brisbane. GWS to win.
How do you see Western Bulldogs v North at Etihad?
Oh, well, look, I was on the Doggies last weekend. Yep. I thought at Etihad Stadium they'd take care of Melbourne. I didn't like what I saw. They've just lost the ability to score quarters. So even when they're competing well around the contest, you've got to be able to put it on the board in some way, shape or form. They've never been a high-scoring team. And now, you know, Stringer's out of form. Cloak hasn't worked for them. A lot of the holes on their list that they were able to cover last year through effort and collective effort and good organisation, they're not covering at the moment. So the ruck's a problem for them and Tim English isn't ready. Cloak hasn't answered the problem deep in attack. Marcus Adams has gone down with a foot again and Joel Hamley's not there this year to step in and fill
Lynn Jong's out for the year now, which is unfortunate. He was having a terrific year.
So I'm going to tip him.
Yeah, I'm tipping him too.
But this is kind of like their last chance.
There's more to lose than North has to lose.
Yeah, I get it.
And I think, but they've been bashed around a bit this week, the Dogs. So I'm expecting, I mean, I said this last week, by the way, but look, I really am expecting something this week or I am off.
And I was pretty disappointed with what I saw from North Melbourne last week against St Kilda as well.
Yeah. Yes. West Coast v Melbourne at Domain. Really interesting. Different West Coast, wasn't it? 93 tackles. It just shows you what happens when the intensity there. Went against the old Alan Jeans philosophy. Why injure your players during training during the week? They had all these tackling drills and high-intensity drills. Oh, I hope we see it again.
I think we'll see it again this week. The big challenge for West Coast is going to be in 1, 2, 3 weeks' time.
Yep.
Because what we have seen in the past from West Coast is West Coast can string a little bit of a series of form matches together and then suddenly they produce the flat one somewhere in the middle of it. And so I think we'll see it again. No Josh Kennedy, probably, from what we understand. But
Nathan Jones is a huge out for Melbourne.
Yes.
Interesting there. Look, prior to this, I think it was 1 from 25 at Etihad Stadium. They've won 2 from 3 there. So those sort of bugbears mean nothing to them now. I think haven't won here since 2004, haven't beaten the Eagles since 2002 over here.
Yes.
So, and it is a bigger ground to come to grips with. How Gawn's going to be coming back for his first game in some time, I'm not sure. I think the Eagles will win, but wouldn't surprise you. They're playing with a lot of unity, Melbourne.
I'm going to tip the Eagles. And the other thing we have to remember about Melbourne is Melbourne is still quite a young team. And you mentioned the dimensions of the ground. Yep. Those sort of things can tip a young team on its head, can't they? Sort of like when your forwards can lead themselves into the wrong position, you've got no one to kick to in behind them. All those things can mess teams up a little bit when they come to Domain Stadium, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens to Melbourne, so I'm on the Eagles.
Sunday, Geelong v Freo, and should be easy for Freo, won their last two trips there. No problem at all.
I heard someone say today that, oh, you know, they're a chance here. They've won their last, I think they've won two of their last five at Simmons Stadium. Well, I think those teams were a little bit better than this Fremantle team.
Yeah, that's right. They were, of course. Look, I think Geelong will win it. Let's hope Ballantyne's back. I think with Gray out injured, he's every chance.
Let's hope Sandilands is back,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, let's hope Sandilands is back, too. They need him. Look, I'm picking Geelong. I think it'll be a reasonably comfortable win. Interesting, I think, a real disappointment for Scott Selwood. Let's hope he gets back quickly because he just gave them that bit of depth they needed in the midfield.
Probably not a disappointment from Nathan Fyfe, who's probably the one who's going to get tagged, or Stephen Hill. So one of those ones will be quite relieved that Scotty Selwood isn't out there.
So does Blakely go to Selwood? That would seem the obvious. You don't really tag Dangerfield, do you?
Well, do you? Because at the end of the day, Adam Simpson sent men to both.
Yep.
Last week and managed to stymie the Cats to a fairly large degree. So maybe, yeah, maybe Blakely goes to Joel Selwood and maybe you try and find someone to go to. It's hard to find a matchup for Dangerfield, isn't it?
It really is very. That was my point.
You just got to be big, strong, fast and good. There's not that many around that are equipped to do that. Maybe Nathan Fyfe plays on Patrick Dangerfield.
Well, why not? Let's see it. But we all love that matchup and have in the past. So, so we're obviously both on Geelong. Richmond Carlton at the MCG.
Okay, well, look, I'm going to tip the Tigers on one proviso. Will somebody please, at some stage, man up Sam Doherty and Cade Simpson?
Gee, they're organised at the back, though, Carlton. They are organised.
Well, it's easy to look organised when you're not playing on anyone quarters.
Well, it is, but look, it's also good. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, how many kicks out the back did Doherty get against Gold Coast last week?
First half in that game was just horrible to watch. Horrible. Not a great recommendation for Gold Coast. And I have to say, I know I've been a massive fan of this guy throughout his coaching career. Not a great recommendation for Rocket's future at Gold Coast, because at some point they had to be manned up and they were way too slow to do it. I understand why he didn't do it. They were getting murdered at the contest. He was trying to, you know, get numbers around the contest to try and even that battle out. But, you know, when you're getting slayed like that from the back end, you've got to change something, and they were too slow to change.
What a terrific game from Bryce Gibbs. 31 kicks, 12 handballs and 10 tackles. And a couple of important goals too, but the 10 tackles were really good tackles too. So it's a terrific game from him and good form lately.
So how do you rate Bryce Gibbs amongst the number one draft picks?
I rate him very highly.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm not a critic and never have been a long-term critic of him. I'll tell you who'd be disappointed they didn't get him is Adelaide.
Yeah.
Adelaide's done nothing wrong. They're sitting on top of the ladder, but I tell you what, they'd love to have him in that midfield.
And you can see now why Carlton was so keen.
And he may be, they may be just that one midfielder short from winning the flag.
Adelaide?
Yeah, he might have just been that player, which is, you know, maybe.
That's why they tried to move heaven and earth to get him.
Yeah. So and I think he has another crack at the end of the year. So we'll see what happens where he ends up. Bryce Gibbs. Let's hope he stays at Carlton because I like to see players see the journey out.
Yes.
So you're picking the Tigers?
I'm picking the Tigers.
Same.
Just.
And finally, St Kilda v Gold Coast at Etihad Stadium. So I'm picking the Saints. The Gold Coast, maybe for little Gaz, maybe.
St Kilda.
Yeah.
But I'll be interested to see. Little Gaz has a bit of nostalgia about him.
He does.
He might just decide to wind back the clock and produce something a wee bit special.
He's not winding the clock back that far, though. He's had a couple of decent games in the sort of second half of the year. In the first half of the year. So.
Yeah, no, he's still a very good player. But I'm talking about absolute vintage top end little Gaz. Maybe we'll get one of those
games.
Well,
hopefully we see. If that happens, we might see a bit more from Lynch this week because he's been pretty quiet. So.
Yeah, he needs to stop wrestling and stop getting angry and start moving around.
Yeah, start hitting some packs a bit harder and just jumping.
Playing to his strengths.
Yeah, that's
basically.
Right.
So, he's made himself pretty easy to play against in the last few weeks, Tommy Lynch.
And the Saints were, look, up and about last week after a disappointing recent run. So bashed up North very early, got the game on their terms very early. So a bit of form for them, but we'll see what happens. St Kilda for me.
St Kilda for me too. Well, that's our round 14. We're up to round 14.
We
are.
Quarters. Yes.
That's our round 14 predictions. The snowfields are still empty.
Oh, you don't have to queue up to get on those black runs.
And the APRA ski is a bit quiet and subdued at the moment. Oh, but you never know. Look, it might only take a couple of losses for the four-wheel drive to be cranked up.
And go you, D's. Well done, number five.
And good luck with your tips this weekend. Good luck to all your teams. Don't forget to follow the weekend round in the pre-game.
Pass me the tweed jacket, will you, and the cigars?
And my corduroy pants, of course. They're very good and comfortable in winter. Just don't forget to look for all the previews of the games in the pre-game in the West Australian. Look for the big feature articles and the progress report on what's happened on Thursday and Friday night in the weekend West. Of course, the Sunday Times on Sunday to look for all the results of the big West Coast clash with Melbourne and the preview of Fremantle's clash with Geelong. The game lift out in the West on Monday, and also stay up to date and up to the minute on thewest.com.au and on Perth Now. We'll talk to you next week.
The Game AFL podcast is brought to you by the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. Watch the best videos and stay on the ball with breaking news and expert analysis at thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au. This has been The Game.